The UN report has found that global warming will be worse than previously thought, and radical, unprecedented, and immediate action is needed to protect communities around the world. That's the simple message from Monday's United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate. The report, co-authored by 91 scientists and academics from 40 countries, say the only option is to stop emitting carbon. Professor Andy Pittman from the University of New South Wales says the warming in Australia is here to stay, and farmers will not be able to adapt to the new climate alone, and they will need massive help from the government.
It's all a question of risk. Have we absolutely for sure no chance of avoiding 1.5 degrees? No. We can still avoid 1.5. It basically requires a decarbonisation of the global economy by 2030 or 2040 probably. And I can't see how that can happen. The political enthusiasm for actually taking the science seriously at a global level just doesn't translate into action at that scale. So no, I think we have basically committed to 1.5 and higher. Current trajectories commit us to 3 to 3.5 degrees, and that's not tenable. So we are going to have to act on this. The earlier we act, the lower we can keep the warming, and the nearer we can keep the warming to 1.5 degrees, the better, for very many reasons. And I think just governments are going to have to act and take this seriously. And I respect the fact that many of our political leaders around the world don't want to have to do that.
Well, we heard from the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, saying, oh, this is just another report.
Well, it isn't just like a standard government invited report written by half a dozen people. This report assesses the science over thousands of publications and a decade's research, and it's the consolidated assessment of that science by experts in the field looking for consensus. And so it's quite conservative in its outlook. If your listeners are thinking this is sort of an extreme view, it's anything but that. It's quite a conservative perspective on how urgent action is. And if they read the summary of the report, which is actually calling for extremely urgent action, just take that in the context that it's actually a conservative assessment of the state of the science.
And yet we heard from the Deputy Prime Minister, Michael McCormack, saying, oh, he sees there'll be a place for coal and coal mining over the next more than 10 years, he's saying.
Yeah, I absolutely accept that there are politicians around the world who believe that. But we also have to accept that that's entirely incompatible and inconsistent with the science. So you either develop policy that's based upon the science and what the science has been telling us for 30 or 40 years, or you find that inconvenient and you head down some other trajectory. Obviously, as a scientist, I'm going to argue you should form your policies in an evidence-based way. If you use the evidence available, you have to get rid of coal from the global economy by probably the year 2000. We have been extraordinarily slow in taking climate change seriously. Anyone who thinks that coal is part of a long-term energy solution for Australia or indeed the planet has that perspective inconsistent with what the science is telling us.
And the evidence of what's happening is we are seeing it in New South Wales, we are seeing it in Queensland. It is directly relatable to the drought.
So the drought's complicated, as I'm sure most of your listeners would know. The major factor in the current drought is the unprecedentedly high evaporative rates over winter and over the last few years, which we think is related to the sorts of climate changes induced by global warming. The rainfall changes are much more complicated, but the basic equation is if you get more evaporation and you don't get more rainfall, you've got less water for your agriculture. And I think that's a sign of things to come. We see no evidence of increased rainfall over New South Wales on the long term, or indeed over Australia on the long term, but we see a clear sign of increased evaporation. And as I said, more evaporation, no more rainfall, leads to a drying trend. And I think that's pretty much hardwired into the system now.
And this is, you were saying to me that you think that there's been a shift in the way farmers think about climate change and global warming.
I absolutely do. Farmers are, for want of a better phrase, at the coalface. They are absolutely some of the most resilient but also adaptable groups in Australia's economy. They have been coping with climate change really tremendously impressively. My concern is there's limits to what they can do. There's limits to what farmers can do to adapt to these trends in evaporation, these trends in climate. And government either has to come up with some pretty serious strategies to help the farming communities because this exceeds their normal operating environment, or the farmers have to be effectively hung out to dry. And as a climate scientist who sees the changes as not being natural variability, but caused by global carbon emissions, I think the farmers who have been resilient have to be helped very much more significantly, because I think the changes that are occurring and are coming are beyond what you could reasonably expect that community to cope with.
And yet we hear the debate when we talk about climate change, quite often the politicians turn the debate to, oh, well, we're worried about energy and electricity prices.
I know, but there are ways to generate electricity and provide a secure electricity supply without burning coal. The economists have demonstrated that renewables are now getting cheaper. If I fly over Australia, emitting carbon, I have to admit, I look down and I see very widespread renewables being put out across the landscape. A lot of those are in agricultural and rural communities. It's absolutely the way forward. They're building resilience to energy supply variations into the future, exactly the way they should be going. And I don't buy the argument that you need to burn coal to have reliable energy.
And if you have the if you have the nation warming up and the evaporation increasing, the rainfall not increasing, many farmers are saying that's beyond what's adaptable for them in terms of new breeding of wheat or changing of farming practices or trying to maintain moisture in the soil. They say it's going beyond that. They can't adapt too much more.
I think that's entirely true. And I want to emphasise the fact that farming communities have proved phenomenally adaptable and phenomenally resilient and have been doing an amazing job. But there are limits to that ability to adapt to climate change, and a really well-orchestrated policy from government, for instance, an actual strategic policy around drought, would be a really useful step forward in supporting our farming communities.
And what would that entail?
That's very much a policy question. But we have to accept, I think, moving forward, that the sorts of droughts that we're experiencing today are going to become more common unless somehow miraculously rainfall increases quite significantly over regional Australia. And I don't see any evidence of that happening from the climate work and the climate projections. So we have to work on the premise that the farming communities are likely to be getting on average less rainfall, and we have to have strategies to allow them to cope, because, as I said, I think that's beyond the adaptive capacity of most farmers.